All right, well, we're continuing on here this morning with our little mini series on relationships. Today we're talking specifically about husbands loving their wives. My wife's glaring at me or smiling. I don't know how to take that, but new experience preaching on marriage. Your wife staring at you. Good accountability. All right. A couple weeks here looking at marriage. This week, husbands. Next week, we'll talk specifically about wives loving their husbands. Ephesians chapter 5 is probably the primary text people go to for this topic. I encourage you just to look through that as you have time, maybe in a little more detail this week, but we'll use it this week and next. And we'll read that together here this morning, chapter 5, verse 22 through 33, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. And let me just pray for us, and then we'll read through that together. Well, Father God, we just come before you now, and we open up your word that we do trust to be true, and we pray, God, that you would just use it to accomplish all that you have planned for us as individuals, as married couples, as a church body, and Lord, just pray that you'd help us to set aside anything that may be distracting us this morning. We know that we're all coming here with different experiences, different situations that we're living in, and so Lord, we just pray that your word would speak to us just how you desire this morning. Give us the ears to hear and the eyes to see all that you're calling us to. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's read this here. Chapter 5, verse 22 through 33. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So you see there, verse 32, this mystery is profound. Isn't that true oftentimes, that marriage is unique, every marriage different. Nobody can really just completely figure them out. There's no perfect way to navigate any marriage. It's a profound mystery. Timothy Keller, a well-known author, Christian speaker, he writes that the biblical presentation of marriage is really painful and wonderful. Painful. The thought of pain coming from our marriage, isn't that running against the narrative that's often given to us by culture that we see portrayed in social media or in Hollywood? You know, from these sources, we get to see just a glimpse of people's marriages, and oftentimes the glimpse that we get to see is the wonderful. It's amazing. It smiles on their faces and a great time, but I think most of us recognize, if you've been married for any amount of time, that marriage can be hard. It can cause pain in this life. In fact, let me just read an excerpt from this book. This is Timothy Keller's book called The Meaning of Marriage. I recommend it if you want to read a Christian perspective on marriage. He says this to start in chapter 1. He says, "I'm tired of listening to sentimental talks on marriage at weddings, in church, and in Sunday school. Much of what I heard on the subject has as much depth as a Hallmark card. While marriage is many things, it is anything but sentimental. Marriage is glorious, but hard. It's a burning joy and strength, and yet it is also blood, sweat, and tears, humbling defeats and exhausting victories. No marriage I know more than a few weeks old could be described as a fairy tale come true. Therefore, it's not surprising that the only phrase in Paul's famous discourse on marriage, which is Ephesians 5, that many couples relate to is verse 32, that it's a profound mystery. Sometimes you fall into bed after a long, hard day of trying to understand each other, and you can only sigh, "This is all a profound mystery." At times, your marriage seems to be an unsolvable puzzle, a maze in which you begin to feel lost. "I believe all of this," he says, "and yet there's no relationship between human beings that is greater or more important than marriage." In the Bible's account, God himself officiates the first wedding. We see that in Genesis chapter 2. "And when the man sees the woman, he breaks into poetry and exclaims, 'At last!'" Everything in the text proclaims that marriage, next to our relationship with God, is the most profound relationship there is. And that is why, like knowing God himself, coming to know and love your spouse is difficult and painful, yet rewarding and wondrous. The most painful, the most wonderful. This is the biblical understanding of marriage, and there has never been a more important time to lift it up and give it prominence in our culture. I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. An opportunity for us to lift up the beauty of marriage, God's intent in marriage, and the culture we live in. But Timothy Keller's statement that it is painful and wonderful. I imagine many of you here have experienced that firsthand if you've been married for a while. And don't we prove that to be true in other areas of life as well, that what is wonderful often requires some time of painful. You might think of a professional accomplishment. Maybe there was a project you were working on, a goal that you had, a position you were pursuing. You may have had to go through a time of painful, hard work and commitment, sacrifice on your part before you got to what was wonderful. You could think of athletes. They put in hard work, commitment, painful attention to detail in order to get to the point of succeeding or to winning the championship or even winning a game. To get what is wonderful requires some time that might be painful. We see this time and again. The work can be hard, but often the hard work is the beginning of wonderful. But we oftentimes just want what is wonderful without hard work. It's not too often that we truly can create something wonderful without having some sort of season of hard work or painful toil in pursuit of that. So the next couple weeks, I hope to give an honest image of what marriage is. I hope to stay rooted in God's word because I fully recognize many here today more wisdom, more experience to impart, but hopefully God's word has some guiding principles that we can use. For singles, this week and next, encourage you to remain attentive, and maybe you are not yet married and think one day you would like to be married. This can hopefully provide some sort of realistic expectations for what marriage might be like. It can offer helpful tips to navigate marriage. Other ways to use this would be to think about the ways you could support and encourage your friends who are married, because all who are married need that support and encouragement, and it can come from singles as well. Maybe for those who have already journeyed through marriage, are no longer married, think about the ways that you could impart wisdom and for those of us who are currently married as well. As today we look at men, specifically husbands, what in Ephesians 5 comes to your mind as sort of the secret of a strong marriage? What was the primary message that God gave to Paul to communicate for a strong marriage? Let's look at the text a little bit and lay this foundation. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church." A few verses later, verse 28, "In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies." Verse 33, "Let each one of you love his wife as himself." Three times over, short section, the command, love your wife. This is also communicated in Colossians, that husbands should love their wives. It's communicated in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, that husbands should enjoy the wife whom they've come to love. Someone told me this past week, it's not really as natural for a man to love his wife as it is for a woman to love her husband. They said, you know, a man will show up on his wedding day and he will communicate his love. He'll profess his love. He'll say that I love you. And he may never again feel the need to repeat himself. because he said what he meant, right? I think that may be an exaggerated statement. Most men communicate their love again, but it does point towards this reality that many men need to be reminded to take their foot off the gas pedal, slow down, and love their wife, to be intentional about loving the person who God has blessed them with. Perhaps this is why there are multiple mentions in Scripture for a man to love his wife. There's only one mention in Scripture of a woman's need to love her husband. The woman's request that we see time and again in Scripture has more to deal with respect and submitting to a husband. We'll talk about that next week. Men, perhaps women would not need the reminder to respect us if we were more ready and willing to love them the way that God has designed for us. And some of you may want to fire back, well, Pastor Trent, if you knew the way that they interacted with me, you would understand. If they would respect me, maybe I would love them a little bit more generously. You see, this argument goes both ways, right? The man wants to be respected so that he can offer love. The woman wants to be loved, and then maybe she'll start respecting her husband. One book called Love and Respect calls this the crazy cycle. You get in a crazy cycle of just undermining one another, waiting for the other person to do what we want them to do. So who stops that cycle? I think Scripture shows that it ought to be the man if he is seeking after Christ alongside of his wife. But the reality is that most often it is the person who is most spiritually mature and during that season of life. They're going to be the one who kind of pumps the brakes and stops that cycle and is willing to sacrifice a little bit. But at any rate, men, the secret to your marriage, love your wife. So for the rest of our time this morning, I want to look at 2 points. One, what is the purpose of our love that we offer our wives? Why are we to love them the way Scripture says? The second thing we'll look at is how do we love them? If all the women could just plug your ears for a second. Men, if you don't have your pencil or pen, this would be a good time to take notes. Coffee in the foyer. You don't want to sleep through this one. It's an opportunity for us to love our wives well. So what is the purpose? Why are we to love our wives? This is going to affect the answer as to how we should love them, right? Whatever the purpose is will determine how we should love them. If our purpose is to make them comfortable, if our purpose is to make them happy, if our purpose is to make them wealthy, whatever the purpose is going to determine how we should love them. So let's talk about the purpose here. Look at verse 25. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for her. You see the word that, so that, here's our purpose statement, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might become holy and without blemish. The purpose of Jesus loving the church, the purpose of Jesus laying down his life for the church was that she would become holy and pure without any blemish before God. Look at verse 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives. We are to love our wives in the same way in order to accomplish the same purpose, that they could become holy and pure before God. So a question, men, can you make your wife holy? Can you purify your wife? That's what Jesus did for the church. It says we ought to do the same, just as Jesus did. Can you make her holy and pure without any blemish? No, we can't. I cannot make my wife love Jesus any more than she already does. I cannot make my wife be more filled with the Holy Spirit than she already is. I cannot make her pure or holy. But what we can do, catch this, is that we can help them be positioned to receive everything that God wants to give her, and we can help her be positioned to offer everything to God that God desires. We can position her to receive. We can position her to offer to God. And that is why we love them, so that they can be beautiful before Jesus. And they're beautiful before Jesus by receiving what he has for them and by offering themselves to him, by worshiping him. And what does this accomplish? What does this unlock in the marriage relationship as we love our wives in this manner? I think that unlocks what all of us want, what we desire in this life. When we love our wife in this way, it unlocks the most healthy relationship. It unlocks their ability to love us the way that we desire to be loved. And that may perk our ears. Well, there's some benefit in this for us. I can be loved the way I want. I can be loved the way that I need to be if I position my wife to love the Lord to the best of her ability. That begins to sound nice. Our greedy, prideful side may like the sound of that. But a word of caution. If we work towards positioning our wives to be in the presence of God or to receive from God so that she will love us better or so that we can receive the love the way we want to, we've now changed the purpose. The purpose was that she would become pure and holy before God, period. Not that she would become pure and holy and able to love us the way that we desire. We can't change the purpose there. That becomes selfish love, self-centered love that's really for our gain, not for the gain of Christ being glorified through who our wife is. When we love Jesus the most, ourselves, then we're going to love our wives the best. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Consider others better than yourselves." So surely that means our wives as well, that we would consider them better than us. Selfish love, we know, is typically sniffed out sooner or later. We can all tell when someone is really just working towards their own end, that it's all for their sake. After a while, that proves itself to be true, and that just results in deeper wounds that take longer time to heal and resolve. So as we love our wives the way that God calls us to, it positions them to truly receive from him what he has planned. It also positions them to offer to him all that they can. And this is true on all levels of our marriage. It will bring us the greatest satisfaction emotionally, spiritually, sexually, financially. If we're positioning them in that way, this is God's pattern, God's plan for marriage. It's true for everyone here today. For wives, for husbands, your spouse will be their best in this life if you love them with an eye and a heart set on eternity. We have to recognize that our marriages exist for so much more than this life, than the temporary pleasures. But it's also true that as we love them with our eye on Christ, with our eye on honoring God, it will allow them to be their best in this life in every way possible. If we don't love them in this way, we are really putting a stumbling block between them and God and all that God has planned for them. We don't allow them to be in the presence of God as they may desire or have the freedom to serve God in the way that God may desire for them. We can become a stumbling block to all that he wants to do. So if the purpose is to love our wife so that she can become pure and holy, so that she can be spiritually mature, so that she can grow in Christ-likeness, if we know that is the purpose, how do we get them there? How do we help them get to the point where they're positioned to receive from God or they're positioned to worship God? What can we do to help them navigate their way to that place, wherever it may be? We saw this already in Scripture, Ephesians 5:25. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So how did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for her. He sacrificed himself for the church. I think that's the guiding principle for all of us here across all marriages, is that we will have to sacrifice if we want to love our wives well. Or a husband should love his wife with sacrificial love. That's a requirement for all of us. I think there might be some more principles that would get us closer to specific details or specific ways that you could love your wife. But in reality, that is going to be unique to each woman here and to each marriage here, as they all feel love differently, as they all need to be led in different ways. This is a good place to put a plug in for the book, The Five Love Languages. Maybe you've heard this by Gary Chapman. Gary Chapman describes five ways that people receive love or that they feel loved. And if we want to love our spouse, we have to know how to communicate love to them. The first he mentions is words of affirmation. They want to be praised. They want to be congratulated. They want you to say thank you. They want you to verbally praise them for something that has happened. Words of affirmation. The second one is quality time. They just want quality time with their spouse. They want some undistracted time where they can sit together and receive your attention and have conversation and time together. Physical touch is number three. Hold their hand. Give them a hug when you show up from work. Sit by them on the couch. Acts of service is number four. A person wants you to do nice things for them. You clean the house. You help with the laundry. You help with the dishes. You go to the grocery for them. You do acts of service on their behalf. The fifth one is gifts. Flowers, jewelry, food, tools. I don't know, whatever they want to receive, right? Thinking of myself there, probably. See how easy it is. Many couples have told me how helpful this book was, though, and just being able to identify the way that their spouse feels loved. I can remember when I was first married, I would occasionally, you know, bring them some flowers, put them on the counter, probably saw that modeled when I was younger, would set some flowers there, my wife comes in, smiles, oh, that's great, you know, it's nice. And after a while, the question began to be, how much do those flowers cost? I'm like, what are you talking about? That's so practical. Like, forget how much they cost. They're flowers. They're for you. It's a gift. Just enjoy it. But I recognize after a while that I wasn't speaking her love language. She would rather the $20 spent on flowers to go towards groceries. If I want to really make her happy, the dishwasher would be empty when she gets home. And forget about the flowers on the countertop. We have to know how to speak the love language of our spouse, because we could spend years buying our spouse flowers when all they really want is 45 minutes with us in the living room to have a conversation. Maybe your wife isn't so independent, she doesn't crave that time alone, but she just wants a hug when you get home from work, or she's had a long day, she wants you to give her a hug or to hold her hand, even when you don't enjoy holding hands. You get the point here. We have to know how our wife feels loved in order to truly communicate that we love them. But we are all called to love sacrificially. We have to remember, as we discuss the five love languages, specific tactics or techniques or practical things that we could do. The primary thing that we're watching for is what can we do to position them to be in right relationship with God, to position them to hear from God, to position them to worship God. Now, do I think washing the dishes or doing the laundry or going to the grocery or buying flowers is able to help position them to receive from God? Absolutely. I think all of those small things are definitely able to help a woman receive from God what he has planned and for them to better worship God. Because as we love our spouse the way that we know we should, it energizes them to love others, including God, the way that they know they should. And they have the energy to do it. They have the ability to enter into God's presence. A woman who is exhausted and feels unloved is not as readily going to go into God's presence if she's exhausted and feels unloved as the woman who is energized and feels loved. They're also probably not going to pursue Christian community with other women who may present themselves to be spiritually energized and alive if they're feeling not spiritually energized, because that is an intimidating environment. Who wants to go into the environment as the one who's all run down and overwhelmed? So yes, the small things can help us position them to receive from God, to worship God as well. We see that all these little things in day-to-day life, they add up to some pretty big results. And we see that in so many areas of life, that the little things can add up to be something pretty huge. If the little things don't matter, we can stop changing our oil or changing oil filters or pumping up our car tires, or we can leave our socks on the floor for a couple weeks straight if we don't already. And we'll see that the little things do end up mattering quite a bit. But if we want to get the little things right, then we have to be willing to sacrifice to make sure that they happen. More than anything, though, we have to be developing this eye and an ear to be watchful for any opportunity for our spouse to receive from God or for them to be in his presence. An example, if there's a chance for your wife to spend time in Christian community that maybe she doesn't already have. You need to identify that opportunity that's presenting itself, and you need to find a way to help make that happen. That might mean that you have to take care of some of her responsibilities for the day. You might have to speak certain words to her to free her up to be able to do that. If your wife doesn't have time to be in God's presence or to spend quality time in the Word, you might need to find things in your day that can help free that up. And that may be the small things of doing the dishes, getting the kids to bed, taking the kids somewhere for 30 or 45 minutes so that they have that time. It's very valuable in the relationship, and it's really our purpose as husbands is to make sure that that is happening. We don't interfere with that because God's called them to it. I think, as I mentioned before, some of you might be sitting here at this point thinking, Pastor Trent, this is all great, but if you knew my wife, if you knew our relationship, you would understand why I'm not doing the dishes anymore, or why I'm not helping her be free to go spend time with her friends, why I'm not so patient. I don't know that she really deserves it. I don't get that ever in my life. Maybe you've been married for quite a while and you're in a routine that doesn't really show much of this. Maybe you're sitting here and you think, I deserve better. Maybe you're both sitting here thinking, I deserve better. I imagine we're all tempted with that prideful thought, the thought that we deserve a little bit better than this. What did I do to deserve being disrespected in this way? What did I do to deserve getting chewed out for that when I didn't really do anything wrong? I think this way of thinking is constantly going to attack our ability to sacrificially love our spouse. It's always going to interfere with our willingness to sacrifice. In order to sacrificially love our wives, we're going to have to set aside our rights, or what we at least view to be our rights. And that's going to require us to move against the currents of culture, right? Currents of culture are constantly telling us, you all deserve to get what you want. And if we don't have what we want, we deserve and can claim the right to change what we currently have in order to receive what we do want. While our culture is telling us that we should get to have what we want, our Bibles are telling us oftentimes that we need to learn to want what we already have. And that's not going to be possible without a sense of humility and sacrifice. We read about this in the life of Paul. The life of Paul, you see, he learned to be content in every situation. As a man put in prison, a man beaten, he's learned to be content in every situation. It says when he was proclaiming the gospel, he turned down payment that he had the right to receive. He deserved payment for his instruction of the gospel, but he set it aside so that it would not hinder the gospel of Christ. He set that aside in order to love people well. Ultimately, we see this expressed in the life of Jesus, who's the model for us as we love our spouse. He set aside all of his rights so that he could love the church well. Philippians chapter 2 talks all about it. He came as someone who is equal to God. He should have been worshipped, but he became a servant to all people so that some might be saved. The one who should have been worshipped let people spit in his face. The one who should have been worshipped was crucified on a cross. He shows us what it's like to set aside our rights. And I imagine that this is one of the most difficult pursuits that we'll face in a relationship, is that we go days, weeks, months, or even years on end that might require surrendering what others are telling us is our right. We set that aside so that we can love someone well. Our ability to do this is only going to grow if our heart and our mind is set on Christ and eternity. It's not going to grow, it's not going to be fueled if we have our mind and heart set on this world and the temporary pleasures of this life. We have to keep an eternal mindset. We have to keep our focus on Christ if we're going to be able to sacrifice in this life. And as we keep our focus on Christ, it's going to invite God to be on our side. We're going to have the Holy Spirit living in us and through us to remind us how to live, how to love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves his church. He gave himself up for her. Help your wife be positioned to receive everything that God has planned for her. Help your wife be positioned to praise and glorify Jesus in all that she does. All of us need to know how our wives feel loved so that we can help navigate them to that position. It's this sort of love that's going to help us as men love God above all else, which is most important, that we're loving God above all else. Now, this Bible puts the reminder here multiple times for a reason. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Love is patient. Be patient with them. Love is kind. Be kind towards them. Be kind in the words that you speak. The world is giving the church at large a huge opportunity to show the power and beauty of the gospel of Christ. If we take God's word seriously and we apply it to our lives, we get to show the world the beauty of a marriage that is committed to one another, that it can be painful, but it can also be wonderful. We can show what sacrificial love looks like, a love that most people would say we need to abandon, that we don't deserve, that we shouldn't be pursuing. We get to do that in our lives, and we can learn to count it a joy to proclaim the name of Christ in that. Concluding verse, 1 Corinthians 7:28. Those who marry will face many troubles in this life. It's just a matter of fact. Those who marry will face many troubles in this life. It's another person to love. It's another person that we have to give our time and effort to. It doesn't allow us to do what we want. So it is difficult. There is pain, but it's also the most wonderful gift that God has given to us. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Would you pray with me as we close this morning?